This is Rabbi Brian. So glad you're listening, watching. Fantastic.
Let me say good morning and hi to Alex and Scott and Joe and Ken and Derek and Laurie and Jeff and Emily and Calvin and Carol and Rags and Michael and Ruth and Rita and Barb Bacha and Bob and Nikki and Karen and Patty Ray and Meg and Glenn and Marilyn and Barbara and Sally and Joan and Jim and Judith and Sari and Lavender Laurie. Hi. Good to see you. And Derek Hughes. And wonderful that so many people could join. Welcome to this. This is a Saturday morning service. I'm Rabbi Brian. I'm the host of this. And you guys are all, I'm honored that you guys all decided to spend this time. And anyone who's unfamiliar with a Zoom meeting, which I don't think anyone's unfamiliar at this point. But I like to have it that you have your microphones unmuted, so that if you want to say something, you can. We will rush to mute you. Alex, say hi so people know who you are.
Hello.
Alex has God controls and has the ability to boot you out of the meeting at any time. Or if your dog is making noise or there's some other noise, Alex will do her best to mute you and to spotlight people as they go. The chat room is being moderated today by Joe. Joe, say hi.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, morning.
And the idea of the chat room, you all chat with each other, do all you can. I'm not reading the chat room because I can't do all these things at once. This is not the kind of service where you should feel, well, you should just be you. Let me put it that way. Let me start with this kind of question. Derek Hughes, congratulations. You're first up today. Isn't that exciting? You're muted. Oh, here's a little quick tip. If you're on mute and you push the space bar down, it will unmute you as long as you hold down the space bar. There's a little one.
Oh, really?
Derek Hughes, how are you, my friend?
I'm really great. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing good. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
How many miles in this marathon do you think you are? Standard marathon is 26.2 miles. How many miles do you consider yourself to be in at this moment?
What's the marathon?
26.2 is a marathon.
And what marathon are we talking about?
Well, that's the question. How are you feeling? I mean, are you ready for another 20 miles?
Yeah, I feel there's been a lot of gardening, you know, and I mean that metaphorically, but I've been taking this opportunity to do a lot of weeding and getting the soil ready and just, you know, like farmers of old, I'm praying for rain and I'm praying for sun.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like it, Derek. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
Part of that was refinancing a mortgage, so I feel good about that. I took advantage.
Good. You might as well.
Yeah. No
good.
Doubt.
Well, so you're ready for the marathon. Show of hands. Here being, I'm still at the beginning of the marathon, and here, oh my God, I need this marathon to end right now. So hold on. Let me unspotlight Derek, as gorgeous as you are. So here we are. I'm so ready for the marathon to be over. Here is. I'm totally fine. I got another 20 miles in me. Show me where you are in your boxes. Where are you with the marathon? How tired are you? Some of you are at different places. All right. And some of you, Bob McGinnis, I like that. You're moving. That's fantastic. Bob McGinnis, let me ask a follow-up question to you, if I may. And also, listen, folks, I don't believe I'm an extrovert, and I call on people. And if you don't want to be called on, just kind of like give me a sign or do something, you don't have to answer. But Bob McGinnis, if you're willing, how many balls in the air are you juggling these days?
Oh, my God. You know those pits that you go to when the kids play in the malls, and they're like an ocean of balls, and your kid jumps in, and then you can't see them anymore? Similar to that.
All right. So let me ask everyone, on a scale of, I'm just tossing one ball to ball pit, where are you today? Where are you finding yourself on the scale of, I'm totally juggling, I'm awesome, I'm on a unicycle, and how many of you are deep in the ball pit. We're in different places. We got. All right, let me ask it in a little simpler question. How many of you are afraid that it's maybe 1, 2, 3 more balls than it is than you can juggle easily? How many are just a little bit above there? Okay, good, 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 good. All right, this is good. Just so you know, I'm having a really fun time scratching down all these crazy questions and be like, hey, I'll ask that on Saturday. Let's see what comes of that. That should be fun. Rags, if I may ask you, are you ready?
Probably.
Okay, good. Were the pandemic to end right now, what is it you fear you might forget that you have learned? I'll read that again. Were it to be that the pandemic were to end right now, what is it you fear you might forget that you have learned?
How much do I get from talking to people on the telephone?
Say that again, Rags.
How much joy I get from talking to people on the telephone. Okay, I don't think of that as, I haven't thought of that as necessarily, you know, a thing of joy, except with, you know, very particular people. But I've learned that because I'm part of a group that's doing calling of people who are disconnected or may be disconnected, not from the phone, but from community.
We got you.
And just about every conversation has been energizing and, you know,
wonderful
life. You may hear the cat in the background who may, I don't know what he's saying.
I don't either. How about other people? What is something that you fear, were the pandemic to be over right this moment, you fear, hey, you know what? I didn't quite absorb that lesson strong enough that I would totally get that lesson. Someone else got have an answer to that? Michael, what do you have? Were the pandemic
well, I have,
to end
but
right
I
now?
Have it. That's the only fear, Rabbi, that I don't fear losing.
The only fear that you don't
that's fear the losing. Only fear I don't fear losing if the pandemic were to end.
The no. fear you don't have any fear should the pandemic end.
No, that's the only fear of the fear. If the fear you asked about the fear.
Yeah, yeah.
The pandemic. That's one of the only fears I don't fear. Not, that I don't. What am I trying to say? That's a fear that would go. It wouldn't be a problem for me.
You would.
Fear, I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid of losing anything
right.
for the pandemic to end.
Forget what I've learned.
I got you.
Because this is a dreadful way to have to learn anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings me to my.
I want everybody to die for me to learn things.
Right. Okay. This is not. We would not have traded in. Hey, I know. Let me take some sufferings for some wisdom.
Yeah.
In a related question. And this is anybody who wants, you know, I couldn't have gotten that lesson blank years ago or blank days ago. You know, I couldn't have gotten that lesson blank years or blank days ago. Something that you recently learned that, wow, you know, I wouldn't have gotten that lesson blank days or blank years ago. What is a thing that you recently came to that you might not have? You might not have gotten. Barb, thanks for putting up your hand.
You know me. I don't do silence so well. I have a great capacity for digging in deeper. So I'm deeply into some quartz work and things that are important to me. And I'm aware that I might be in this position now for several more months. And so I'm planning, you know, what am I going to do at home for these next, you know, this period? If this happens, then I'm going to do this and this happens. And I'm deeply into what kind of creative things are going to come out of the ground of this, to use the gardening analogy.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we're going to stick with that gardening analogy. And thank you, Barb. So everyone, I'm going to move us to a favorite quote. Here it is. Favorite quote from Thich Nhat Hanh. And Derek, there's no way you knew that this was in my slide deck and I was ready. So thank you so much for doing that. Thich Nhat Hanh said, when you plant lettuce, If it does not grow well, you do not blame the lettuce. If you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. And I'll give you the full quote. He said, you look for a reason that is not doing well. It may need fertilizer or more water or less sun. You never blame the lettuce. Yet we have problems with our friends or family. We blame the other person. But if we know how to take care of them, they will grow well like the lettuce. Blaming has no positive effect at all, nor does trying to persuade using reason and argument. Yeah, that's rough, isn't it? That is my experience. No blame, no reasoning, no argument, just understanding. If you understand, you show you can understand, you can love, and the situation will change. Mm. Can we have a collective on that one? If you plant lettuce, it does not grow well. You don't blame
the lettuce.
You don't blame the lettuce. If you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. Calvin, you got something there?
Yeah, I've been disconnected from my family for about 9 years because of my mother's death. And they put a lot of blame on me for the financial part of it.
I should sign out of the...
So we hadn't really talked much, but I had been praying for reconciliation. And finally, my brother and I are now back together, and he would like to set up a meeting with me in my hometown, so it'll involve some traveling for me, if we can ever get out of the country. But it's, I think I was the one to blame.
Mm.
But we've now worked through that. I have some explaining to do, and I think now they understand.
Well, Calvin, I got to give you props. I really was not expecting someone right out the gate to be putting it on themselves. That's a beautiful thing. Other people have a similar where you know that you're the one to the fault is you, not the lettuce. It's not your brother. It's not your boss. It's not your kid. But you realize that it's you. I see a few hands going there.
So you don't say bad lettuce.
You don't say bad. All right, wait. Okay, honesty moment. How many of us are prone to say bad lettuce?
Oh, not really.
Most of us. All right. Yeah. Sarah Maria, you had something. You're muted right this moment, but can you share with us?
So my brother, who is chronically difficult, just showed up in the rain at my back door saying, I'm ready to go do that thing right now, because he's single, lives alone, and he's so sad and broken. And it's on me for not doing a good job of taking care of him all these years. I mean, it's not totally on me, obviously, but
right. It's
the beauty of my 12-year-old was like, oh, Uncle Andy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nope, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
It's my job to love you, show compassion, and show up and say, what do you need in this moment, right? If pandemic hasn't taught me anything else that I've already been teaching, this moment.
Yeah.
Only this moment.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Maria. Good. Anyone else want to chime in on that lettuce quote? When you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. All right, I'm going to move us along.
I feel like I'm...
Do it, Rags.
What I wrote down was just, don't blame the lettuce. I feel like that's a good sticky note.
Yeah.
Have on the door, just don't blame the lettuce. And short circuit that reaction that... Yeah.
I will tell you, I got this. This quote came to me when I was teaching high school. And I was teaching high school, and boy, do you want to... Okay, so the longer story of it is, I'm teaching high school, and I get in trouble for using bad words in my classroom. because I'm free with language and it doesn't really bother me at all. I don't even think of it. I grew up, and I don't know if culturally, but I'm at the Catholic school, and I use the word H-E double hockey sticks just freely because the word hell doesn't have any bad feeling for me. So I get in trouble with the principal for using H-E double hockey sticks. And meanwhile, the teacher across the hall is telling the students, is telling the students, what's wrong with you? Why don't you understand this? I've taught it to you three times already. He's blaming the lettuce, right? And it always hit me that I got in trouble for bad language where I wasn't insulting the kids at all. And then, that's just me and my little soapbox.
So, Rabbi?
Yes, Nikki.
I would add something.
Hi.
I'm not going to go into my familial situation because I'll start to cry. But for me, it's in the middle. I'm happy to accept any blame for what I've done, but I'm not, see, there I go, sorry.
Do it, honey.
For me, it's not blaming the lettuce, it's blaming the soil. The soil is where it grows. Yeah. So when you have a situation that you're, I'm happy to take the blame if I know what the, if I know what I've done wrong.
Yeah.
So I love
yeah, but you've done, you put the lettuce in the soil that you had and you gave it the sun that you had and you gave it the water that you had and still the fucking lettuce didn't grow.
Or yeah. It just grows partway.
Yeah. Well, so, I think anyone who's a parent has had that situation where you give all you can give and you give all you can give and still shit goes wrong.
That's life, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we deal with.
Yeah.
And I think the pandemic for me, although I knew it before, is how important people are in your life.
Yeah.
And the ones that you have, you really, really cherish. Not that you didn't before, but it really brings it to the forefront.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Bob, you had your hand up. Go for it, my friend.
Yeah.
Good to see you, by the way.
I'm not sure exactly how much blame helps. It's more of a dumping thing, I think, and that I don't know if anything is ever accomplished by blaming. And so it is what it is, and things happen, and we just have to go from seeing what we can do to work with the situation to make it better.
Amen. I think that, Bob, you're absolutely right. Blame, I think we all know it up here that blame doesn't help. We all get that here. The trick is how do we get it here and how do we get it here?
Yeah.
Right? So let me pause for a moment. We're going to move on to a different thing in a but let me say, there's no sermon to Rabbi Brian's Badass Spiritual Saturday Morning Group. There's no official sermon. The sermon is whatever you get. At the end of this time, whatever the lesson was, and if it's putting a sticky note and says, remember the lettuce, and then you spend the next week trying not to have blame come out of your mouth, that's the point. I don't have a set. I have a bunch of notes of what I'm trying to get to, but the lessons are everywhere. This is your spiritual life. The moral is what you find. There was some homework from last week. I'm going to assume everyone did it. I don't remember what it was. That's the honest truth.
Oh, then we definitely did it.
Then we did it. Okay, thank you, Jeff. I feel much better. And also, two things. One, I'm assuming that you're fine having your video be shown because you're here. And two, you've already noticed I'm free with language. This is not for children. If people want to bring their children to this kind of service, fine. But I fully authorize everyone to use language as they need to and just to be as real as possible. Let me move. Any housekeeping issues that we need to deal with? Somebody, something, I don't know. All right. I'm going to share. I have two questions. I'm going to start with this one. Can I go with Jonathan Nye? I feel like I'm playing Match Game or something. But Jonathan, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Great. Jonathan, in the last week, was there a situation where you witnessed love? So if you were to say in the sentence, last week I witnessed love, could you fill in that sentence? Last week I witnessed love blank. Is there a place in mind that you could say you witnessed love?
Oh, yes, probably over and over again. I attended a lot of Zoom meetings from church, and I just felt the love of all of those people, and there's a lot of support there. I also heard that some people feel lonely at this time, and that kind of makes me sad because there seems to be plenty of opportunities to experience the support and love of people around you.
Wonderful.
Zoom helps.
It can. A lot of Zooms can make you feel drained. So I'm really glad that you find the love in it. And Jeff, if I can ask you, I'm going to ask you a different related question of, is there something on your heart that you would like to have witnessed? So let me do it this way and show you guys. Here are the two questions, and you have your option. In the last week, I witnessed love, and you can fill that in, or you can go with prompt two. Here's something on my heart that I would like to have witnessed. Jeff, you get a choice, one or two.
I'm going to take one.
And what would you say? In the last week, you witnessed love when?
I went to a funeral.
Yeah.
On Friday. And it's really odd to have funerals during this time of plague.
Yes, of course.
Because we were not allowed to get out of our cars.
Yeah.
And what happened was that the immediate family was in the funeral home and they had a service. And then we went past the funeral home and honked our horns.
Yeah.
And then went in the funeral procession to the cemetery. And it was very emotional for me with the police cars and everything going on. And then we sat in our cars again and watched them take the coffin out and watched them take it over and put the coffin into the grave. And only the family was allowed. And you could feel all the love from everybody sitting in their cars and from the family for my friend Tim. And I witnessed a tremendous amount of love within that context.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to ask everyone, we're going to try something. Here are your two prompts. And if you would like to make a note, I can't get the image to follow along. So prompt one is, in the last week, I witnessed love. And the second is, here's something I would like to be witnessed. I have something on my heart I would like to be witnessed. And we're going to try, I'm going to send people to rooms. We haven't done this I don't think we've done it in this group. I'm going to send people to different rooms, to breakout rooms. And I'm going to ask, you're going to have 5 minutes to go around with all the people who are in your room. No commentary, nothing necessary, but just to say, in the last week, here's something that I witnessed love, and here's something where I would like to have love witnessed. How are we doing on the prompt? We have the two different questions, and everyone been to breakout rooms before? It's going to feel a little bit like a rapture. And you're all going to disappear from this room and then show up in another room. And the two questions are, here's somewhere where I witnessed love in the last week, or here's something I need to be witnessed. And I'll see you back here in 5 minutes. Good luck. All right, I think this is this group that's here still. Sally Barron, I'm going to unmute you because you wound up in this room with me. I can't unmute you, Sally Baron. Judith, can you say hi, Judith? I don't know if you
hi.
Hi. Is there something you witnessed love in the last week or something you need to be witnessed?
During the week, my cat got quite sick.
Ah.
And I took her to the vet. And it may sound strange, but I witnessed a great deal of love from the vet toward my cat, who is improving tremendously.
I love that.
Pleasure.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Eileen, I don't know if you're able to hear or be heard. I wound up with all the phone people. And Ruth Bernstein, I know you. I see you. I see you. Wait, you're muted right now, honey. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. There you go. Do it again.
Last year, I got an award from the Hearing Loss Association of America for my work. And I ended it by saying that Tikkun Olam is what steers my life.
Saving. I love that.
Well, there were 250 people in the room, Rabbi, and I had absolutely no idea whether anybody heard me. On Wednesday, I did a presentation for a chapter in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And one of the people who had heard me wrote back and said she uses Tikkun Olam.
I love that.
As the end of her, when she writes an email. And I was so blown away because I knew that at least one person had heard me.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful, Ruth. That's all, that makes you feel loved.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When you know, Rabbi, when you're teaching, when you're talking,
you get the response. Yeah.
And especially when you're talking to an audience with hearing loss, you don't know
even more
if you're getting through or not.
Good. But this
was, I was so touched.
I love it. I love it. Ruth, excuse me, Eileen, Judith, Joan, I'm going to go run and see how the other groups are going. I'm going to close the room in about 2 minutes. So go. All right. Thank you, guys. I'm going to close all the rooms, give everybody a minute. Well, that seems to have worked.
Oops. I left too quickly.
Hi, Michael. Welcome back.
I left too quickly. My group. I rushed out.
You're here.
I'm here. I'm back. Here.
How'd your group go, Michael?
Is it just me talking with you?
Were there other people still here who were in my group?
I'll pass.
All right. Yeah, send me an email.
There was only two of us in my breakout room. Was that supposed to be that way, Brian?
It was divine will.
Actually, yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
We had a lovely conversation.
Yeah, breakout rooms are it's not my strongest suit yet, so I'm glad it worked, just the two of you.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be an even number, but everyone else had six.
Great idea. Yeah.
Yay! Well,
my virtual choir, I've started taking it over because I'm the IT geek, so I take over the breakout rooms, and I set them up for everybody.
Good. Thank you for helping out, Lee, with two people. Okay, well, welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. If you want to give me, I don't want you to have to out each other during this, but if you send me an email later, give me a sense of how breakout room worked for you, didn't work. I would love the feedback because this is all live.
We could have used another minute.
Okay. Thank you.
Always use.
And I know some groups had two people and some had audio only, and we're all right. I'm going to move us to a different topic. Hold on. Well, I do want to go right here is to things that are on our hearts. And I know some of us have. So what are there concerns of your heart? And we could put this in a place for, you know, I know a bunch of people, our friend John on Monday, he's been having a really rough time and he's on my heart right now. And are there other people who there are people on their hearts, people for whom they would want to just put their name out there? I can't guarantee that these prayers are effective, but sometimes they can help our heart. And that's actually, it would bring me to, Emily, you asked me to talk about prayer, and I'll give you just a quick quote from Kierkegaard. And Kierkegaard said, prayer doesn't change the world. It changes the person who's doing the praying. And that's how it makes sense to me, is that the prayer is, that the prayer is, I say the prayer so that I feel better. I say the prayer so something shifts in me when I know that I put John out there. So if other people have someone they would like to pray for or put something out in their heart in this group, to do that now. Go ahead.
A family who just lost their mother. She's mother of teenage children too. They don't know because they're autopsying. Her name is Heidi. So Heidi and her family.
Thank you. And Patty, go ahead.
I have a friend who has COVID. Her name is Darren. And she keeps testing positive. She's got a horrible cough. And I'm worried about her.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Go ahead, Michael.
Putting a name out of my good friend Robert, who's going through the home confinement on his own. He's an artist and has some complications and very sensitive. He's having a tough time.
Yeah.
So, Robert Hutchison. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Lee? Go ahead.
My mom, Carol, she has several different complications. But one thing that has come up is the potential is there for colon cancer. And she's already had two colonoscopies. And of course, the third one was canceled because of COVID. So we're just waiting in Nova Scotia for elective surgeries to come back so that we get the definitive diagnosis, whether it is or it isn't.
Thank you, Lee. Other people, things they want to put off their heart. Yeah, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a friend named Patty with a Y. And Patty is having a real lot of time with the political stuff. But she's also just really depressed about not being able to be with people and do communal things, or even go out to dinner with people. And so prayer for her that her anxiety might be lessened and her heart softened a little bit, I think.
Amen. Well, I thank everyone for sharing, and obviously we pray for peace and peaceful hearts. I see somebody's waving there, and I
yeah, it's me. That
go ahead, and
I
then
just
Alex.
I wanted to also keep in mind all of our healthcare workers and the first responders that are putting their lives on the line to help us deal with this current situation. And considering Monday being Memorial Day, that one of the things that in the Madison area that came up was that somebody came up with the idea of at 3:00 in the afternoon on Monday that they're encouraging anyone who knows how to play the taps to go out and do that, and for the the rest of the people to come out and listen to that. In honor of those people who have helped to help us.
It's a great idea, Bob. Thank you. And Alex, and then we'll move on. Go ahead, Alex.
I just wanted to mention my mother, Margaret, who has metastatic lung cancer, lives an hour and a half away and is socially isolated, lives alone, and our friend Danielle, who has colon cancer, and it looks like it's spread.
Thank you all for sharing those things. Sari, my sister, is my little niece still around there? I saw her near the table a moment ago.
Yeah, she came to say hello, and then she went.
Is she gone? Because I had a quote she might like.
Oh, what is it? I could share it with her.
That's right. It should be on the screen if I did things right. Did I do things right?
Yeah.
There's the quote. So this was Robert Brault said, "Today I bent the truth to be kind, and I have no regrets, for I am far surer of what is kind than I am of what is true."
Huh.
"Today I bent the truth to be kind, and I have no regret, for I am far surer of what is kind than I am of what is true."
Yep.
Can you relate this to the lettuce quote?
Actually, yes.
Hold on. So let me bring that one up. So the lettuce said, if you plant lettuce, doesn't grow well, don't blame the lettuce. And this one is saying, go ahead.
<There it is.
laughs> Ray, go ahead. Explain it to us.
Well, I was thinking that you may want to plant the lettuce, and that's the truth of it. But is it really the place? Does your area in the world grow lettuce? Some places don't grow lettuce.
Mm.
So if you're trying to force it to grow, and it's just not going to grow there, that's not being very kind. So look at it and say, is this, even though I want this, is it really the right thing to do? Is it being kind?
I love that. Thank you, Ray. Anyone else on "Today I bent the truth to be kind, I have no regrets, for I am far surer of what is true than what is kind." I am far surer of what is kind than what is true. I screwed that up. I was checking. That's a test for understanding. "I have no regrets, for I am far surer of what is kind than what is true." All right, so let me change this to here's your homework, guys.
Ooh, okay.
Here's your homework. Do this.
What?
Be kind. I think it's the same for the blame, where it's really easy to blame someone else. And it's really easy to cut somebody down. And I might have to bend the truth a little bit to be kind to my daughter, to tell her that she did a good job loading the dishwasher. She didn't really. Her work standards are lackluster, to say the best.
And right? How old is she?
She's 11.
It may be an A plus for an 11-year-old.
Right. I'm not blaming the lettuce. But boy, do I think she could do a better job. But she doesn't need to know that all the time.
Right.
Can I say the one thing about kind?
Yes, Amaria.
The word kin.
Sorry, got your name wrong there.
It's okay. I will forgive you.
Appreciate it.
The word kin is at the beginning of kind, and I love, or I consistently remind the one another of that we are kin. Whether you believe it or not, you belong to one another. So kin is right there.
I love that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, I think that on your daughter, if you keep praising her for the accomplishment that she does achieve, that and then at the same time bring in a preference as well, that maybe that'll help.
I hope so.
Oh, shit.
I hope so. Somebody's microphone was hot there. This that makes... I think we could have a blooper reel at the end of every service that I run.
That was me because I kicked myself out of Zoom.
All right. You're here. I'm going to make quick announcements. Here we go for announcements. Today, I'm pleased to... if you don't want to do spiritual direction with me or you know somebody who might be interested, I want to hawk a little book here. This is Religion Outside the Box put out something called My Fun Theology Workbook. It is the most fun theology workbook on the market. There are only two theology workbooks in existence, mine and the other guys. And mine has the word fun in it. It's really a workbook. It's got spaces for you to fill in answers, and it's got lots of guided exercises. And here, I'm going to put up a little, somebody sent me a, they wrote in it and they took a picture and they said, be willing to find God in less conventional places. They can be found in art, nature, community. If any of those places leave you feeling empty, then God is not there. Keep voyaging, Voyager. So the whole book does, the goal of the book is not to get you to believe what I believe, but to get you to believe what it is that you believe. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to this link, which I will put into the chat right now, and you type in ship free, all one word, you get free shipping. Sorry, it does not apply to Canada.
Oh, bummer.
But I did find out, and I sent a book recently to, who did I just send a book to Derek, that I can get books to Canada. They've made it a little bit easier custom-wise. It just takes about 2 weeks for the book to arrive. But so that
or four in COVID, because it's like Christmas.
It is.
No, this was last week.
Yeah, last week you got a book.
Right.
Good. Okay.
And I'm in the middle of COVID here, too, as you are elsewhere in Canada. So.
So I'm going to add in here, you can type in ship free, and you can get the shipping for free. Let me see what I still have time to do here. You know, I have something I haven't done, and I'm going to try this because, heck, why not? I'm going to read to you guys. I'm writing a book of essays. It is called, well, as of right now, the working title is called, I'll share the screen with you and you can see that. Right now, the working title is called, ta-da, This Is Not Rabbi Brian's Christmas Album, 25 Digital Age Essays, Free from Restrictive Dogma, Woo-Woo Spirituality, Free from the Fertile Mind of Rabbi Brian Zachary Mayer. So, that having been said as a setup, I'd like to read to you a little chapter from this book. Oh, wait. I'm going to try to highlight my own video, though. Alex, can you spotlight me?
Yes.
Thank you, my friend.
There you go.
Thank you. All right, so here's a chapter called Without Sin. My people don't do this original sin thing. We don't grow up with this doctrine. We know about guilt, of course. We're Jews. We create guilt masterpieces. But original sin, a human construct upon which many lives are unduly influenced, is far darker than guilt. Far darker. Guilt stems from having done something wrong. Original sin's premise is that you are and have been wrong since inception. And this leads to shame, thinking there's something wrong with your very character. And that's a horrible shame. You were brought up to believe that your thoughts and you could be impure? Shame on them for telling you that. I can't even imagine. Look, Gus, no hands. There was no fall, no original sin, no ancestral sin. Actions purported to have been done by Adam and Eve do not implicate your life. Look at the text. Look at the Bible. Original sin was birthed into the world by Augustine of Hippo, not God. Sinner for All Time is a 4th century man's gloss on Genesis 3. And his thoughts became popular. After all, it seemingly explains why bad things happen. But that doesn't make it right. if you want to believe humanity is broken and deserving of misery, believe it because you choose to believe it, not because they told you to. So you know, the canonical Bible never once refers to original sin, period. In fact, the word translated to mean sin isn't even used in the Great Book until after the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Sin debuts with Cain being told regarding his jealousy of Abel, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Yeah, nobody exactly knows what that means. Childbirth will be painful and work hard, yes, but original sin, no. In fact, and this is quite hard to swallow if you grew up believing otherwise, Adam and Eve did not disobey God. They couldn't. Just like the parallel Greek protoplast story of Pandora and Epimetheus, deceit, among other evils, had yet to be invented. The fruit they were told not to eat, the box they were told not to open, was the very food slash box that would open their eyes to deceit. I didn't punish my almost toddler when he crawled and tugged at the tablecloth in an attempt to lift himself to standing. My calls of "don't stop" didn't make sense to him. Why? Because every other time he had lifted himself to stand, I had been proud. Was he being disobedient this time by not listening to me? No, he just didn't understand. I rushed to save him from the crystal ball veering towards his head and smashing on the ground. Neither happened. I got there in time. But I didn't punish Emmett. He wasn't wrong for his actions. He was trying to lift himself up. Adam and Eve didn't know not to listen to the serpent. They didn't know the difference between good and evil. They didn't have that knowledge. They weren't wrong. Not disobedient. Nothing shameful for all time. It's innocence, a lack of understanding, and that's all. Augie, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus's craftsmanship shoddy? Why do I ask? Well, it seems from your writing that Jesus's sacrifice was to return us to grace. So then if he did, why am I still sinful? And let me answer, Augustine, I'm not. I heard a missionary once say that selling Jesus' salvation is easier if you first arouse a deep need for it. That is, to sell the cure of Jesus dying for your sins, you have to first go about convincing people they are sinners. Oh, Jesus. 20% more God. I can't imagine the exhaustion and terror trying to free oneself from having internalized the message, "I am a sinner." After all, abused women, choked, hit, insulted, don't just leave. It's not so easy to leave beliefs with which you are familiar in favor of those unknown. We like stasis. However, religion is about becoming. A major component to religion is transformation, changing, growing. Attributed to Thomas Merton, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't think the you of today is a heretic, you have not grown spiritually. Despite what you want to believe, the you who you are isn't going to stay the you who you are. Like it or not, you are going to continue growing. And I hope you grow towards light and love, that you move from feeling that there's something morally wrong with you. One day I hope you will find peace in your heart that you are not a sinner. Well, at least that you weren't born one. Basic rule of thumb. If in the last month you made someone cry or feel afraid, you might reconsider your status and reflecting, apologizing, and changing your behavior. Jew, sinner. I've been on the wrong side of this original sin thing too. I'm so sorry, Rabbi Brian, you're kind and good, but there's the issue of your eternal soul. I'm worried that because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart. My response, you've chosen to believe that's true, and you can choose otherwise. Looking forward. Krishnamurti wrote, "Not to be hurt is more important than the hurt one has collected." And that's some powerful stuff. We aren't sinners, we just aren't. Politician, poets, and religion decree salvation from our internalized sense of brokenness is available in a brighter future. The present, when you see it as a mystic does, is even brighter. Let me conclude with the words of Nachman of Bratslav. If you believe damage is possible, then you must believe repair is possible as well. You have already been redeemed. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you. Well, folks, thank you for letting me read that. I have some homework assignments to dole out. The first one, oh, wait, yeah. What's that thing you need to do? Take
be
a moment.
Be kind.
Okay. Bend the truth a little to be kind. I kind of remember there were other little gems that got put out there. So tell me, someone else, if you got something else that you're going to take with you, what is that you're taking with you?
Don't blame the lettuce.
Blame the lettuce. And I highly recommend, folks, like, I'm all for a buffet and a smorgasbord and, like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do... Don't do that. Pick one. Either go for the being kind or go for the not blaming on lettuce. Or you could also go with, what's the other thing that you were going to do? I don't know the answer to that, really, right? So that's whatever you thought it was you needed to do. So what's another little homework assignment? It's like, hey, here's my spiritual homework for the week. What is your spiritual homework for the week? If you need another one, so we have be kind, we have don't blame the lettuce. Anyone have another one? I got a random one. Yeah, what do you got, Ray? What do you got, Lee?
Open yourself to growth.
Open yourself to growth. That's a good one. Lee, what do you got?
The quote you just had with the sunset. Easier to be kind than to be right.
Yeah. Yesterday I bent the truth to be kind, and I have no regrets, for I am far more certain of what is kind than what is true.
Yes.
So maybe part of homework can be watching ourselves for that certainty. Certainty can be so toxic.
Oh, it's so yummy though, Rags.
Religious, but toxic. Or maybe watching out for toxic truth.
Yeah, let's be careful when we think we know something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not fun. Okay. I'm gonna end with... Say again.
Emily was trying to say something.
Oh, Emily?
I just said, I get to give up sin.
Okay, so now Emily is doing an advanced course here. Emily is showing off, and she's flexing, and that's fine. And I'm going to hold up a card right now. There's a game that we've been playing. I have to get to. And she's doing this. So there's often we'll say, well, I have to do this. Well, here's the homework assignment. I have to do it, or I have to unload the dishwasher. If you want a spiritual exercise to kick your patootie this week, try this. Every time you hear yourself say have to, substitute and say get to. I get to undo the dishwasher 3 times a day. It's a big difference.
Yay.
It's not that you have to do any of this spiritual growth.
You get to.
Okay. So that's another option for homework. Fantastic.
Can I add an invitation?
Barb.
Rabbi, I want to acknowledge and commend you for being home with teenagers and on this, you know, and everybody home with children and having to reframe your relationships with them. And come out on the other side of this very differently, all of you as a family. So I
thank you, Barb, for the extra compassion. They were still asleep when I got here this morning, so things have been fine so far today. But let me leave everyone. Everyone's got their homework. And really, I think of it this way. And do you remember that old commercial for, I think it was Prel, maybe it was a different shampoo. It was like, and she told a friend, and then she told a friend, and then it bounced out, and you had all these boxes like we have the Zoom room right now. If you can go out and bend the truth to be kind, and you can be a little less certain, and you can blame a little bit less, you can have an effect on so many people. And that's going to have an effect on so many people. And I truly believe that's how we're going to make this world a better place. I'm going to end us there with a big amen and lots of kisses.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
See you guys next week.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
See ya. Ryan, I'm glad that I have grown children and grandchildren and don't have to be concerned about having to deal with that now.
Well, good on you, Bob, and lovely getting to meet you. You and I have been emailing for a long time.
Yeah, good to see you all. Don't think
I couldn't see what you wrote. Say that
probably
again.
Back to front. I have this on my kitchen table. If the you of 5 years ago doesn't think that the you of today is a heretic, you are not growing.
ROTB.org. See you there.